So earlier this week, I was thinking about our service this morning. I was thinking about baptising Isla and how nice it is to do a baptism at this time of year. It's nice to do something that's not related to Christmas, quite honestly. And it took me back to when my own children were really small and celebrating Christmas with them. Now, of course, when children are very young, they tend to be more interested in the wrapping paper than they are the actual gift inside. I remember when our daughter was 18 months old, it took us 4 whole days to open her Christmas presents simply because she wanted to explore the wrapping paper and the packaging and stick it in her mouth, and it took a long time to get through the gifts. In retrospect, we should, of course, just have given her cardboard boxes. But you live and learn. I can see you've got some lovely parcels over there. You should have bought just cardboard boxes. And as I sat down to write the sermon for this morning, I found myself thinking that when it comes to the Christmas story, it's easy to get distracted by the wrapping, as it were, and to miss the gift that is at the real heart of Christmas. Because the Christmas story is quite an unusual and surprising one. All sorts of unexpected things happen. And it's easy to get caught up in wondering, well, how did it happen? And if it really happened, and how much of it is actually true? How much of it has sort of just gathered pace over the years? How much of it is mythical? How much is real? But maybe the details are just the packaging, and perhaps we do need to look at the gift, at what the gospel writers are trying to tell us about who God is and what God thinks and the way in which God acts. So I want to pick out some of the things from this passage that stand out to me from this story. And the first thing I notice is that life comes from God. In fact, looking at Isla again, there is something actually about becoming parents that fills you with a sense of wonder, where you just think, I do know how it happened, and yet it still feels somehow miraculous. I don't know if that was your experience. There's a sense of wonder. Like I said, there's biology, and then there's wonder. But in verse 19, Matthew tells us that Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, the angel says to Joseph that what is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. And I think for me that what's going on here, this is not about Mary and her status, this is about God. What Matthew wants us to see is that God is the creator. God is the giver of life. Verse 18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. In the original version of the text, the word that is used for birth actually means origin or Genesis. So Matthew is pointing us back to the beginning of time when God created the world, and he's likening this conception to that act of creation that we read about right at the beginning of the Bible. But why does it matter? Why does it matter if God is the creator? It matters because as the story unfolds, we will read that Jesus becomes a man, he will claim that he and God are one, and then he'll be killed for that claim. But death is not the end of this story, because God will breathe his life into Jesus and Jesus will rise from the dead. So we shouldn't read the nativity story in isolation. People often sort of say to me, you know, but I find it hard to believe in a virgin birth. I have to say that I don't when I read it in the context of God, the creator of the world, and God, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. This story is repeatedly telling us life comes from God. He is the source of all life. As I said, we baptized Isla this morning, and apparently the early church fathers described the font as the divine womb. I think that's a beautiful and poetic phrase rather than font. This is the divine womb. And I guess it's a way of saying that faith in Jesus can always bring us hope. Faith in Jesus can always bring new life and new beginnings. I love the sense there's something about the act of faith that happens here gives birth to something in us. And I suppose a question for us this morning is, where do you need the life of God? What are you longing for God to bring to life in you? And do you believe that God can bring hope into situations that feel hopeless? The other thing that I love in this story is that the gift of life is God's initiative. It is God who chooses Mary. It is God who chooses Joseph. It is God who chooses this particular time and this particular place in history to come among us. And as a people, we are simply invited to receive that gift. It's like being given an unexpected gift at Christmas. You know, sometimes the smallest gifts, if they are unexpected, can be the ones that give us most pleasure. And for me, baptism symbolizes that same divine initiative. God offers his life to all people. In baptism, we are simply accepting that gift, and then we're praying that we might grow to understand that gift and that we might be able to live it out. Isla is utterly delightful, but we haven't baptized her on the basis of who she is. We have baptized her on the basis of who God is. Because God is a God who offers a universal welcome, and yet he comes to us as individuals in the same way that he came to Mary. And for me, that's one of my favourite things about being a Christian, that God is somehow, his welcome and his invitation is universal and offered to all, but it is also deeply personal in that he knows each of us intimately. I love that, universal and deeply personal. As I was reading this passage from Matthew a few days ago, I was reminded that this wasn't the point where Christ came into being. It's really easy to assume that the point at which he is born is the point at which Christ begins to exist. But actually, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always been. In fact, the world that is created from within the Godhead. But this, in this story, is the moment where the Holy Spirit makes Jesus in human form. So Jesus has been since all time, but this is the point where he becomes human. And as I've already said, one of the parts of the nativity story that's hotly contested is the virgin birth. And I've said that I happen to believe in it because I believe that God is the giver of life. But one of the difficulties of the virgin birth is that over the centuries, it has given the impression that sex and bodies and physicality are somehow beneath God, because Jesus' conception was spiritual, as it were. It's also created, the ranty feminist in me would add, an impossible and unhelpful ideal of womanhood. But I really reject the idea that the virgin birth suggests that bodies and sex and physicality is wrong. Because actually what I see when I read this passage is the total opposite. Yes, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but he was conceived in human form. God chose to embrace humanity. He chose to embrace physicality and sexuality and flesh and blood and all of the gifts and all of the limitations of having a human body. And we talk often in church with language from the Bible about our sinful bodies. And yet I read this passage about what the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, and it speaks to me of the holiness of the human body. And not just the holiness of Mary's body, but all of our bodies made in the image of God are holy and a gift. In Christianity, the spiritual is not more important than the physical. They are intimately connected. You can't separate them. As humans, we can't separate ourselves into body and spirit. Our bodies matter, and actually that is never more apparent than on those occasions when we become unwell, or we experience physical pain, or our body doesn't do what it should do, or our body doesn't do what it used to do. We shouldn't feel that we should diminish our bodies in any way in order to please God. I don't think we should, because I believe our bodies matter, and our bodies matter to God. That's why in our intercessions every week, we pray for people who are physically unwell or who are experiencing mental ill health, because we believe our bodies matter to God. So I guess a question for me this morning is, how would you like the Holy Spirit to be at work in your body? What is it you would say to God this morning about the needs of your body? Christmas for many people is a special time of year, but we all know that it can be hard as well. And I think it's the time of year when we are most acutely aware of the people that we are separated from. Whether we're separated from them by distance because they live in another part of the world, whether we're separated from them by death. and it's just not possible to be with them anymore. Whether it's divorce that makes family relationships difficult, or whether it's just difficult relationships that every single one of us have with someone or other. Certainly for me, Christmas is that time where we long to be with the people we love, which is why I've been knocking imploringly on the door of my teenagers' bedrooms going, "Do you want to watch Elf with me?" and so on. The answer is mostly no, and occasionally yes, at which point I go, "Yeah!" Because I want to be with the person, the people that I love. The Holy Spirit made Jesus in human form because God longs to be with the people he loves. Because God longs to be in relationship with us. In fact, the Bible actually uses that image of God knocking, not on the bedroom door, but there is something in that about God just going, "I just long to be with you. Come out of your bedroom, will you? Just come and watch the telly with me." In verse 22 in this passage, Matthew says that all of this took place to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said this, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. It wasn't good enough for God just to be with us in spirit. God came to be with us in person. Actually, much like Juliana's family travelling all the way from Romania to be with you in person, because it's not the same to be here in spirit. They wanted to be with you, physically with you. And it was the same for God. God comes to be with the people he loves. We started our service this morning by singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and my favourite line in that carol says this: "Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today." What a lovely phrase, "be born in us today." So this morning we've been celebrating Isla's birth, we've been celebrating her baptism, and just as her birth has transformed the lives of her parents and her families, just as she has, I suspect, brought more love and joy than you ever thought imaginable, God longs to do the same for us. He longs to come into our lives to bring love and joy and transformation, more than we can ever possibly imagine. So whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or whether this is the first time you've been in church, may he be born in you today. May the life of God grow in you and bless you.